Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 22. I'd like to welcome those of you that are joining us now on YouTube. We thank you so much for your attendance there and for choosing to worship alongside of us. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. God bless the young man, Harrison Butker, the Kansas City Chiefs kicker who spoke at the graduation commencement at a Catholic college in Kansas this past week. He fired a frontal assault on the Marxist Politburo of America by, among other things, speaking of the degenerate cultural values. He dared to say that the greatest vocation a woman could have is to become a wife and a mother, a homemaker. What they didn't tell you is that the students gave him a standing ovation. There's still hope because young folks are starving to death for the truth. The other side was quick to respond with their intolerance and hate. I learned this is an actual office. The NFL vice president of diversity and inclusion in a football league office. Anyway, he said his views are not those of the NFL. You need to be doing something else on Sunday anyway. The city of Kansas City put his home address on their Twitter page, supposedly by the mayor. I think they have since took that down after a conversation with the attorney general. You can imagine the talk shows. One of the females on The View said he needed to be placed in mandatory therapy. That's called a re-education camp in China. Same thing. He's not going according to the indoctrination. It's coming, folks. And the timing of this is amazing considering the Mother's Day message last week. And it gives me the opportunity to say, I told you so. Marxism and biblical Christianity cannot coexist. And they have declared war. And I want to tell you something. Our children and grandchildren's minds and souls are worth fighting back. The only thing that defeats the lies of their indoctrination is this verse. It is he that is clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. They hate him. They hate this book. This book. They hate any church, any born-again Christian that believes and stands, Mary Jane, on this book alone. Want to know why? Verse 31. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. The devil hates God. The devil hates this book. This book. He hates any church. He hates any born-again Christian that believes and stands on this book. He desires to have us. He said he desires, Simon, to have you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon. I've prayed for you that your faith wouldn't fail. Now, from verses 31 to 34, the Lord singles out Peter. And he says that he says those things to him. Now, why does he single out Peter? Verse 24. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Verse 33. And he, Peter, said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. It's because his voice was the loudest and probably started the whole thing about who is greatest in the coming kingdom. So in his reproof of Peter, the Lord is also speaking over his shoulders to the other disciples there present, and over their shoulders to the future church here present. And he's given us a very important set of truths here in these two verses. Now, first in verse 31 is a truth concerning Satan, the devil, that you need to understand. He desires to have you, to sift you as wheat. But he cannot. He cannot have you. Now the Lord will let him sift you as wheat, but he will not let him have you. 1 Peter 1:5 says that we're kept by the power of God. Ephesians 1:13 says that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Satan complained to God about Job after the Lord pointed him out to him. And the devil said this, have you not made a hedge about him? I can't get through it. The Lord said in John 10, verses 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And that includes Satan and his fallen angel demons. Now, that's a fact. But there's a second truth about Satan that the Lord warns us of here in verse 31. He wants to sift you as wheat. Now, understand how that process works, and we'll better understand the spiritual action that it represents. In these times in the Bible, wheat and other grain is cut or threshed by a sickle, a blade with a long handle on it. And then it's gathered up into bundles. And then on the threshing floor, it was beaten and then placed into a sieve, something like a large strainer. Then it was violently shaken in order to separate the chaff, the dirt, and the other impurities that were on the wheat. And it separates it from the good and the usable grain. So what is it that the devil wants to separate us from? Verse 32, the Lord said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. What is it he wants to separate us from? Faith. He cannot have us He cannot have our salvation. He cannot have our faith. But he can separate us from it. Now, stay in Luke, but go back to our reading in 1 Peter. I want to read just a couple more verses again to drive it home. 1 Peter chapter 5. Look down at verse 8. He said, be sober, be vigilant. He's speaking to Christians. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. You know, one of the most terrifying things about a lion is the roar. One of the most terrifying things about the devil is his lies, his deception. He said, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, he cannot have us. He cannot have our salvation. All right, so what is it that he wants to devour? Verse 9, he says, resist. Resist him. Resist steadfast in the faith. Faith is the key. So that's what he goes after. Faith defeats him from destroying your life, destroying your testimony, destroying your joy, your peace, your faith, everything that comes with salvation. He wants to separate you from enjoying the life that God has given to you at salvation. And from making it effective by affecting other people with it. He said resist by being steadfast in the faith. So what he devours, what he sifts, is the umbilical cord that connects faith with this. That's why this is under such attack. Even in churches. Because if you disconnect faith with these words, you're separated from faith. It doesn't function. It doesn't operate. It doesn't operate by your mind, it operates by the words of God. Now go back to verse 32 in our text in Luke. He said, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He doesn't say, Peter, I prayed for you that you don't fail. But Peter's faith. Peter does fail. Verse 33. Oh, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both into prison and to death. How long did that last? So here's a truth concerning Peter. And our flesh, our fallen sin nature, it's going to fail. Verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day, the rooster shall not crow, before that thou hast three times denied that thou even knowest me. So Peter, you're not only going to fail, you're going to fail three times. The mind of the flesh is spiritually ignorant. And when you disconnect from faith, then your fallen sin mind functions. The living out of the flesh is spiritually weak and anemic. It can produce a degree of outward morality and a behavior modification, but it cannot produce spiritual understanding and power and a Christ-like conduct and a Christ-like character. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. So you and the power of your flesh pose no threat whatsoever to Satan. But when your faith takes hold of the Word of God and begins to function and operate, Katie barred the door. The gates of hell begin to tremble. People who are held prisoner and slaves to Satan begin to realize there might be a hope of getting out of these shackles. And Satan says, I got to do something. The Holy Spirit operates through this gift of faith in conjunction to the written words of Jesus Christ. Then the Lord, he turns and he speaks to all of the disciples in verse 35. He said, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked you anything? And they said, no, nothing. A purse, think of a wallet. Scrip, think of a backpack. It was a shepherd's bag. They carried an extra change of clothes in it, and mom probably packed in the Roy Rogers lunch kit, you know, a bologna sandwich and some Ritz crackers. He said, when I sent you out without those things, did you lack? You didn't have any money? You didn't have any? He said, we did just fine. Verse 36, then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise his scrip, he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you that this that is written must yet be accomplished in me. And he was reckoned among the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end. The ministry here on earth, the priest, prophetic ministry is coming to an end, and now the priestly ministry begins when I offer myself on the altar. And they said, Lord, behold, here's two swords. Sure, he just kind of sighed and said, okay, yeah, it's enough. In other words, you're going to have to get along a few days in the world while I'm being crucified. But I'll meet you in Galilee after I'm risen, and then the power from on high will soon come. He's preparing them for what lies ahead. Now, let's finish up with what the Lord says about himself over against what he's already said about Peter in our flesh. Go back to verse 32. He said, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Yeah, you're going to fail, Peter, but your faith is not. And so when you get through the failure and the flesh and the chaff is sifted out, your faith is going to be stronger. And when that happens, then make sure you strengthen your brethren in the early church. It's going to need strengthening. He said, I prayed for you, Peter. I prayed for you, Simon. You're going to fail the biggest because you said you're the greatest among all the disciples and that you'll never fail. So when you make a statement like that in the flesh, just take heed. Let's ask a question here, and let's ask it reverently and not defiantly. Why didn't the Lord pray for Judas? And since we broached the subject, Let's ask a bigger question. Why doesn't the Lord save everybody? Why not cause all human beings to have eternal life and to enter into heaven? And some believe the false teaching that that's in fact what he did. It's called universalism. But he said in Matthew 23, he was overlooking the city of Jerusalem. And he said, how often would I have gathered your children, the children of Jerusalem? How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a mother hen gathers her little chicks under her wings? And then he makes this statement, and you would not. You refused. Why would he bring someone to heaven that doesn't want to go to heaven? Why would he want to bring into heaven someone who refuses to turn their back on sin? There's no such thing as having sin and having heaven at the same time, or it would cease to be heaven. You see, he doesn't force salvation on people. So he clearly says you have a choice. Now, provision has been made for whosoever will come to him on his terms of repentance and belief in the words of the gospel. They won't be rejected. They'll be received. But a person who refuses that, when you refuse the words of God, you refuse God. They're one and the same. When you reject the truth, God rejects you. We will not have this man rule over us, they said. Now look at chapter 22, verse 3. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Satan entered inside of Judas. He indwelt Judas because Judas said no to Jesus Christ. I reject this man and his truth. Judas saw that he was clearly not going to build and establish a kingdom on earth. So why keep waiting for my position of honor? It's not going to come. So then he goes and sells out, hoping to get a position of honor with the Jewish elders. Keep a finger in Luke, but go one book to the right to John 17. John 17. At this point, the Lord is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is praying. And the Holy Spirit gives the words to John that Jesus was praying while they were asleep. We'll skip down to verse 6, John 17, verse 6. The Lord is praying to his Father, and he said, our great high priest, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. And I have given unto them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I'm no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name, those thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, the son of judgment, the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. When you reject the words, you reject salvation. As a Christian, when you divorce yourself from the word, from church, from discipleship and fellowship, you're separating yourself from faith. That's the position the Lord wants us to be in that Satan does not. That's what Satan is attempting through pressure, through problems, through strife, through difficulties, through challenges that come into your life. He wants to use those to separate you from faith. Sunday nighters, is that not what took place with Timothy? He quit the ministry, went home, and was totally ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of what took place with Paul. Two verses and we'll be done. Romans 8, verse 34. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. He's praying for us. Hebrews chapter 4 said, I believe verse 15, that we have a high priest who has experienced everything that we have humanly except sin, so that he can be a faithful and high priest, so that when we go to him, he knows exactly how to strengthen us. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be sifted. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. And the Lord will allow that, because in that testing, in that trial, in the adversity, one of two things is going to happen. Your faith is either going to be strengthened, or you're going to default back to the flesh. And you're going to try to solve the problem. You're going to try to scheme your way out of the difficulty or buy your way out of it. Or you're going to fall back onto your old resources, the flesh. But even then, in that failure, it will sift all of the pride out, all of the arrogance, all of the dependence upon self and flesh. So even in our failure, our faith will not fail us, because our Lord is praying for us. He's interceding for us, that even though we might fail, his gift of faith that he's given us at salvation will never fail. All we have to do is reconnect. And it's as simple as opening the covers of this book. Getting back into it and say, I believe that. And then you live that out. And you obey it. And then faith begins to operate and function. Then the understanding comes. Then the fruit begins to come. And then the purpose that the Lord had in saving us begins to be accomplished. Stay plugged in. Stay in church. Stay under the discipleship of this word. Stay in this word. Stay on your knees. And keep doing what God has saved us to do. And watch what He'll do. Because above all else, no matter how tough it gets, you remember this thing this morning that the Lord has prayed for you. And He's praying for you right now. So what happened to Peter? Did he go home? Give up? We've got two books that he wrote through the Holy Spirit. Now, his faith didn't fail. He denied the Lord three times. Yes, he did. But he also confessed the Lord three times and was used of the Lord. You failed? Take a number and stand in line. Don't let your failure disconnect you from your faith. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, that we do have it. Word for word, exactly what you want us to have is right here. And we can put our faith in these words that we hold in our hand. We can put our trust in it, that it's from you. We can remove all doubt as to whether these words are from you. And we can step out on them, believe them, and live them. And I pray we would do that. Lord, I pray that everyone here, everyone listening at home, would turn a deaf ear to the lies and to the deception of Satan and his world system that he dominates. And that the truth would be clearly heard and demonstrated from what we say and by what we do. Lord, use us to turn somebody's entire eternal destiny around. Use us for people to see and hear you in this age of fear and worry and violence and deception and decadence. Lord, we desperately need to hear the truth. Young people need a good brainwashing from all the filth and garbage that this culture injects into them. And Lord, this word says that it washes us with clear water. Lord, cleanse us with your word. Lord, cleanse our sins with your blood. Lord, may we believe fully when you said at salvation we're forgiven. So may we stop listening to the lies that says we're not forgiven. We need to do something to atone for our sin, our failure. No, you've done that completely and totally on the cross, and that's finished. What's not finished is our life. And there's still work to do. And I pray, Lord, that we would unretire this morning and get back into the work that you've saved us for and called us to do. Lord, those that have not yet been born again and received you as Savior, don't let them exit this room until that takes place. And for your children, Lord, your word said it's high time to awake. because the day is far spent. It's time, Lord, to put some urgency to our labor. Do that in our heart this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.